The lineup is one of the most familiar forms of police business, thanks to movies and television. Half a dozen or more people who share some of the same physical characteristics, height, weight, hair, complexion, stand under bright lights in front of a wall. A potential witness is on the other side of a one-way mirror. The police officer is the only one who speaks to both sides. Number three, step back. Number four, step forward. Take off that cap. Okay, is that the person you saw? But studies show that witnesses often get it wrong. Many local police departments are now beginning to change the way they do lineups based on the research of Gary Wells, a professor of psychology at Iowa State University who's been studying mistaken identifications for 25 years. He joins us from Minneapolis. Thanks for being with us, Professor.
Thank you for having me here.
And what's wrong with lineups?
We're not talking about trying to, you know, identify your mother or your father or a long-term friend. We're talking about an attempt to identify someone that you've seen on only a brief occasion. And what we find is that lots of people make mistakes. They'll pick the wrong person. And where it's most likely to happen is when the real perpetrator is not in the lineup. Witnesses look at the lineup and they tend to make a judgment about who looks most like the perpetrator, and then they confuse that with true recognition.
So what's your better idea?
We have tested something we call the sequential lineup. The standard lineup that is typically used by police would usually involve, let's say, six people. It may just be six photos if it's done live, six people standing on a stage. The sequential lineup is a one-at-a-time procedure. So it's, Mrs. Jones, I have a number of people to show you. Ideally, you don't let the witness know how many, and I'm going to show them to you one at a time. And for each one, I want you to decide, is that the person or not, before I show you the next one. So you might show the first one, the witness says no, the second one, the witness says no, the third one. Now notice how psychologically very different this is than seeing them all at once. For one thing, you can't just compare one to another. You certainly cannot decide who looks most like him because, okay, let's say you're on number three now. Well, number three looks more like him than one or two did, but I don't know what number five is going to look like. So the idea is witnesses have to dig deeper into their memory. And what we find is that the sequential lineup reduces the likelihood of mistaken identification down to approximately one-third of the rate it would be otherwise.
To be blunt about it, does sequential identification work best when the alleged perpetrator and the potential witness are of different races?
Well, I don't think we have enough evidence one way or another. What we do know is that white Americans have more trouble identifying an African-American face than another white face. And it goes the other way around, too. African-Americans have more trouble identifying a white face than they do another African-American face. The sequential lineup certainly does not eliminate that problem in any sense.
Are women easier to identify than men?
No, not in general. Although there is some evidence of a same-gender bias, that is, that women are somewhat better at identifying women than men, and men are somewhat better identifying men than women. But the only thing that at times can make women easier to identify is that sometimes they will have more distinctive hairstyles.
Professor Wells, what tricks do time play on somebody's capacity to identify someone?
Well, time is always an enemy of memory. But it turns out that most of the loss in memory is occurring within a matter of just minutes. There are lots of things that happen, too. I mean, we know that actually eyewitness memory is much sketchier than people think. And with the passage of time, as you go back and you bring the images back to mind over and over again, those things that are fuzzy sort of get filled in. And what you're filling it in with may or may not be correct. And stress, fear, and so on do not help memory. What happens is, of course, you'll never forget that somebody tried to kill you. But the dominant tendency that occurs in human beings when faced with a fearful situation is fight or flight. And the people... It's not stay there and memorize. And our ancestors who did not have the fight or flight response but instead stayed there and memorized are not really our ancestors.
Right.
They did not reproduce.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing to point out is that there are over 150... now DNA exoneration cases. That is, these are cases where people were convicted of serious crimes and then DNA technology came along and proved that they were innocent. They've now been released from prison. About three-fourths of those cases are cases of mistaken identification. These were all very serious crimes where the witnesses were generally quite frightened at the time. And yet they gave vivid, confident testimony identifying the wrong person.
Gary Wells, professor of psychology at Iowa State University. Thanks very much.
Thank you.